Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is Dukes and Bell. All right, guys, each and every week we get a chance to talk to the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He also had a chance to call the Georgia Tech game over the weekend against Pitt. And Wes, I want to start there. Wes Durham joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline because we were just talking about college football and Tech. What did you see in this game and why Tech responded the way they did? They've got Duke on Saturday, and we were just giving them credit, sure. Coach Key and what the, you know, the staff. That's a tough, adverse situation, and then you're going on the road. But the kids responded. What did you guys see? I know you called the game.
Well, I thought there were a couple things. One, I give Brent a lot of credit, and to no surprise, he talked with us in our production meeting on Thursday about the investment into the structure and kind of the way they went about the preparation in short order, right? And he gave me a great line that Mac McWhorter gave him and said, you can't win the job, you just got to do your job. And Mac, of course, was an interim coach back in the early 2000s when George O'Leary left. And so Brent had been a GA on that staff and remembered that experience and talked to Mac. And he's talked to other people too, but I thought that whole, you know, premise of just do your job became pretty prominent in the way they executed. Now, make no mistake, I mean, the first pass of the ball game, Eric Hallett should have picked it and run to the river, right? I mean, Jeff Sims basically gift-wrapped an interception that Hallett didn't hang on to, but that almost infused Georgia Tech too, Carl and Mike. So I give Brent a lot of credit. I give their players a ton of credit. And then, you know, Pitt turned the ball over three times in four possessions to start the second half, and that was the door Georgia Tech needed. I thought they found some punch with Hassan Hall in the run game, which certainly helped. And then, to be honest with you, Roddy and I came away from it really liking their linebackers. I mean, I knew Charlie Thomas statistically had put up some stuff, but he impacted that game when he came in the second half after sitting out the first with the targeting. And in all honesty, I think Charlie Thomas was a huge factor. And here's the other part, too. They got some gettable games now. I mean, Duke is playing terrific with Mike Elko in his first year, but they get Virginia behind that. They got a chance to win a couple here. And, yeah, who knows what will happen after that. But it's a great story for Brent and a great story for those players to handle the adversity of seeing your coach get dismissed and certainly the front office situation there to come away with a win over a team that I think is pretty good but clearly didn't play to their potential Saturday night either in Pittsburgh.
Hey, before we get to the Falcons with Wes Druham, Wes Durham, here on the WadeFord.com hotline, I know a lot of hype preseason about NC State, and this is the year they're finally going to knock off Clemson. Well, they came up short in Death Valley, right. And it seems like DJU has kind of turned a corner and has got some swagger back.
No question. I think in the last four games, he's kind of ascended each time, right? I thought the ball game a week ago in Winston-Salem really kind of, you know, pushed him up a notch or two in the way people look at him. And then I thought last Saturday night, the run game piece for him, I mean, you're still tackling a guy 230-some pounds now. I mean, and he's got some athleticism about him, but he has got a flat cannon now for a right arm. I mean, he soft tosses 160 yards, let alone throw it hard. So I think Clemson and Brandon Streeter, their offensive coordinator, deserves some credit here too, guys, because the mixing and matching of their ratio run to pass is pretty impressive, and they got a talented kid in Shifley, and they're starting to kind of, you know, explore a little bit of those guys that are on the perimeter, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they, you know, they should beat Boston College Saturday night, but then they go to Tallahassee, and I'm really going to be interested to see how Florida State responds after Wake Forest went down there and did Wake Forest things to them over the weekend.
And just real quick, Wes, because I was sitting there like 10 rows behind the bench, Wake was just bigger and better at wide receiver at the line, a little bit older, too, a lot of fifth-year and sixth-year guys.
Yeah, they are old, Mike. And that's why NC State, I think, sorely disappointed this week, because they're old too, right? I mean,
right.
They had won the game in Raleigh a year ago and thought they had a chance. And, you know, Clemson, Devin Leary, have all played really good for NC State. But Wake is an old football team. In fact, I just laugh at guys nationally who don't believe in Wake Forest. I mean, it's just, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they've done everything possible to prove that they belong in the discussion of the top 20 in college football. And people look at it like it's, you know, dear old Wake Forest with, right, you know, the 1960s or 70s. And it's not. I mean, Dave Clawson's done a terrific job there in a decade. He and Dave Doran, and I'd say this in relationship to the Georgia Tech situation, he and Dave Doran have done the two best jobs of building programs and being given the time to build those programs, the patience to build those programs. And I think a lot of schools in this country, and I would cite Georgia Tech, and I know I work there, but I would tell you, Georgia Tech fans, Georgia Tech administration, if you want to commit to the resources to get this done, understand that it just does not flip a switch and happen overnight. I mean, Miami is showing you that. But you hire the right guy and give him time to do it, it can happen in football. Maybe not at the elite level, like we talked about last week, Mike, but I think it can happen to where you're a relevant football program in today's college landscape.
Yeah, I like Wake a lot. I agree with you totally. Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, he called that game. He calls college football as well. Joining us here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Wes, we ran for 200 yards last week. The Chiefs, the Chiefs ran for 189 against the Bucs, okay?
Right.
And I'm just looking at this and going, okay, there's the formula, because they got to put that fire out. They got to show us they can do that.
Carl, every week's a different week in the National Football League, my man.
No doubt.
How this goes.
But here's the deal. When I see teams give up certain plays, you know this, I'm going to attempt to do that. You got to show me you can stop it. If they come out and stop the run, then obviously Marcus has got to be better. But I do think that this is something that the Bucs are going, okay, we got exploited, and here comes Atlanta, and they're running the football pretty well right now.
Right. No, and no question. And I think what you'll see, because of Patrick Mahomes and Marcus Mariota, I think you'll see Tampa commit more to stop the run.
Yes.
Make Mariota try and win the game with his arm. And, you know, you don't have to be a PhD in footballology to figure that one out. I mean, you know, his numbers are, I mean, again, his numbers, right? He wasn't great last week, but he was good enough to manage the game and win the game, right? And, look, how many different people do you want to give credit to for last week? I mean, because essentially the first sequence of the game, the Browns were lining up, and all of Jim Brown was carrying the football. I mean, you know, race right down the field, get inside the five. By the way, that's the first time in 15 red zone possessions they've been held out was last week. First time. 13 possessions this year, one at the end of last year. So 14 straight red zone possessions they had scored, and on that opening drive they didn't. And, you know, that I thought that set a little bit of a tempo for what Arthur Smith talked about. But when you needed a boost last Sunday, you found it. It just wasn't with who you thought you were going to find it with, right?
Right.
And for Caleb Huntley to be that guy, you know, it shows you that that patience does pay off. And, man, the Duke was terrific on that drive, and I'm excited he got that opportunity. And I'm excited to see who the next guy is now to help this team try and go win the game. Because, remember, at the end of the day, Tom Brady has never lost to the Atlanta Falcons in anything.
Yeah, Caleb Huntley was great, man. Loved the post-game passion. Love the cussing. Love it. It is Wes Durham with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, heading down to Tampa with Arch for the call. And, yeah, I mean, maybe Ebikadie. We talked about it with Chuck Smith earlier. Ebikadie was kind of making plays all over the field in the run game, too, and pressures on the QB.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what this is going to be about. And it goes back – remember that discussion we had back in August, right? I mean, you got so many new faces. You got so many kind of – new roles, if you will. There are some standard veteran pieces, certainly like Grady and Jake, but even guys like A.J. Terrell and even Casey Hayward and folks like that. But it's fun to see these guys come up and make plays. And I think that's kind of the personality, the working personality of this team. And that's something you got to look at Sunday, because let's be honest. I mean, they've lost two in a row at home, right? To the Packers and the Chiefs, who are really good teams. But at the end of the day, that's a proud football team down there that's had a lot of success in the last couple of years. And so they certainly want to keep an edge in the division, and the best way to do it would be to find a way to beat Atlanta and kind of get back on that note, if you will. And I think that's what Tampa will be out to do. And Atlanta will have to probably withstand a flurry or two on Sunday, But to call your point, I think Atlanta's got to line up and find a way to run the football. And maybe it takes like it did last Sunday. You may have to wait a quarter or so to find that engagement.
How impressed are you with what Dean Pease has done?
Well, first of all, I look at the guys whose careers a couple of years ago we thought might not be, you know, here. Michael Walker,
okay,
for example.
Okay.
Right? I mean, a couple of years ago, did any of us think Michael Walker would be here?
No.
Right?
No.
And Michael Walker's turned into a player. The two-year progression of Ogundeji. Lorenzo Carter, to me, is a guy that deserves a ton of credit, too, because he's coming here. Anthony Rush is a guy clearly where the player development piece is taking place. You hear Coach Smith talk about player development. Anthony Rush is a great example of that. I think the other thing, too, is that Dean, and without talking to him to make sure, feels like he's got confidence with his personnel groups in games to do certain things. Now, how varied is that? I don't know. But it feels like he's got a group he knows can do certain things on third down or second down or first down. If he wants to run blitz or, you know, come from the perimeter, things like that, it feels like he knows exactly who he's got to have on the field to do it. And that's got to be a more comfortable feeling for him this year than certainly a year ago.
I know we got a few minutes left here. So, again, Mariota, we'll ask again. And I know I'm going to get the answer, Wes, but I'd like to at least have a package. Just give me a package or two for Desmond Ridder just to see what he could do with the big boys, you know, on the starting team and see how he handles the moment. Or is that opening a can of worms that Arthur just doesn't want to go down?
Mike, this is why you do afternoon drive and he coaches in the National Football League right here.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're going to play that card, I could argue that Debo's a better option than Michael out there. Michael Walker, you know, could play linebacker.
Well, here's kind of where this is. I think that there's a time and a place for Ridder, right? And I don't think that – see, the interesting part about this is that I think everybody started this year, and what happened yesterday in Pittsburgh has a trickle-down effect to people who watch Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Because you see Pickett finally get the ball.
Yep.
Right? And Kenny's going to get the ball Sunday in Buffalo. But to me, the Ridder-Mariota thing is different. I just think there's more to it than that. There's more development, more building than that. And I think the confidence thing for Atlanta is that, you know, you're going to know with Charles London and Dave Ragone and Arthur Smith exactly when the time will be. And I'm joking around about, you know, the package. Is it possible? Sure. I just don't know that you want to put Desmond Ridder in a regular season game in a one possession game. And right now, you know, we play tight.
White. No, they're going to all be one possession games. That's the thing. They are going to come down to one
possession. Well, I don't know that. I mean, they may be, but I mean, there'll be a time and a place to kind of see where Ridder fits, because that's the long term. You know, you got him in the draft for a reason. You want to develop him. And I think what they see in the preparation for game week and all that type of stuff counts. And that's going to be one of the things I'll be really interested along with you to see kind of what that looks like. There's no question he's a winner, okay? And that's the one thing about him that kind of excites me, is the guy is the ultimate competitor. You look at his record at Cincinnati and what he did for Fickell. He's going to be exciting, but you want it to – look, Kenny's first pass the other day was a tipped pick against the Jets. And then he threw another pick trying to, you know, drive Pittsburgh the field to win the game at the end. And so I don't know how much that lateral confidence of performance matters in first snaps. I'll be interested, like everybody else, if it happens. I'd like for it to happen in some sort of scripted situation and not because of injury, though. Because I do believe that what Marcus has done here deserves a little bit of credit from the standpoint of, you come in here, you've replaced the franchise player, and you've kind of continued to be a leader along the way. It's not a flashy leader, but it's a guy who I think, you know, has the betterment of the football team certainly at priority one.
Good stuff as always. West Durham will have the call Sunday. Buccaneers, Falcons at Bucks. Pre-game's at 11, kicks at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much, Wes.
All right, guys, take care.
You
see
too.
You next week.
Take
you
care.
Got it.
All right, Mike, we got
to-
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.